The main cause for skepticism was his notorious claim that halfway down the river, Orellana's crew was attacked by tall, topless women who fought without quarter and lived without men. When these Amazons wanted to reproduce, Carvajal explained, they captured males. When the women's caprice had been suited, they returned the spent abductees to their homes. Any bravo who saw the prospect of some caprice suiting as inviting enough to visit the Amazons himself, Carvajal solemnly warned, would go a boy and return an old man. This absurd story was viewed as proof of Carvajal's untrustworthiness and Orellana's faithlessness. Full of lies, historian Francisco López de Gómara scoffed soon after Carvajal finished his manuscript. Natural scientists have been equally scornful. To ecologists, the great tropical forest in South America was and is the planet's greatest wilderness, primeval and ancient, an Edenic zone touched by humankind lightly, if at all. Constrained by its punishing climate, poor soil, and lack of protein, these scientists argue, large-scale societies have never existed, can never exist, in the river basin. Amazonia thus could not have been the jostling, crowded place described by Carvajal. Recently, though, some writers have been a little kinder to Carvajal. He may not have been making the stories about Amazons up out of whole cloth, William Belay, the Tulane anthropologist, told me. It is possible that he saw female warriors, or warriors that he believed were female. If he asked Indians about them, he could have misunderstood their answers. Or he could have understood them correctly, but not understood that his informants were pulling his leg. We now understand that ethnography is complex, and it's easy to go wrong. More important, Belay says, researchers have come to believe that Carvajal's overall depiction of the Amazon may have been correct. Indeed, as anthropologists, archaeologists, geographers, and historians have reassessed the environmental impact of indigenous cultures in North and Central America, they inevitably turn their attention to the tropical forest. Researchers in growing numbers came to believe that the Amazon basin, too, bears the fingerprints of its original inhabitants. Far from being the timeless, million-year-old wilderness portrayed on calendars, these scientists say, today's forest is the product of a historical interaction between the environment and human beings. Human beings in the form of populous, long-lasting Indian societies. These views raise the hackles of many conservationists and ecologists. Amazonia, activists warn, is sliding toward catastrophe so rapidly that saving it must become a global priority. With bulldozers poised to destroy one of the planet's last great wild places, environmentalists say, claiming that the basin comfortably housed large numbers of people for millennia is so irresponsible as to be almost immoral. It is tantamount to giving developers a green light. The Amazon is not wild, archaeologists and anthropologists retort, and claiming that it is will, in its ignorance, worsen the ecological ailments that activists would like to cure. Like their confreres elsewhere in the Americas, Indian societies had built up a remarkable body of knowledge about how to manage and improve their environment. By denying the very possibility of such practices, these researchers say, environmentalists may hasten, rather than halt, the demise of the forest.